All right, good morning. I've got half of you in here, half in the foyer, but half other half will be in here shortly, then the other half will be in here another shortly. Now, we don't look as many after Thanksgiving, but we look heavier, so we're way more than we did. And so that's what glory is. You know, glory means heavy. It's a weight. Somebody says that guy carries a lot of weight. They don't mean that physically. It means he carries a lot of glory in him, a lot of presence. So it's a good thing sometimes to be a little heavy if you're heavy in the right way, right? So let's stand together and how many is still grateful and thankful for all things? We are going to sing a song this morning that says old for new, and not going to give you total vision of it. Next Sunday, we're going to start ending, closing out the year with a vision for next year, and it's all things new, and it's going to focus on new and focus on hope. I love hope. I used to think I knew what hope was until the last several months, and I know more what hope is now than I've ever known before. And it's not wishful thinking. It's an expectation of good stuff that's coming our way. So we just got a lot to look forward to. I mean, believe the best is yet to come. You still believe that? You still with me on that? I was in someone's house yesterday, and they had on top of their television, the best is yet to come. And I see that a lot of places I go, that that's become a mantra for a lot of people. And I think it's a good one, don't you? You glad the best is yet to come? You glad you're here? You're looking forward to what God's going to do? I'm going to be introducing you to somebody in a little bit later. I was telling some people before the service that this young man is one of the most awesome people I've ever met. And you are in for a treat this morning. I assure you, you are in for a huge treat. So, Father, we thank you that we're here. We're thankful for your presence. We're thankful, God, for your gifts. We thank you that, Lord, that we are in a season, Lord, of just celebration. But, Lord, we stay in a season of celebrating you. And we love you. We just thank you for one another. Thank you for family. Thank you for friends. Thank you for relationships, in Christ's name. And everybody said amen.
Thou art exalted far above all gods. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh, Thou art exalted far above all gods.
Sing, church.
For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all I exalt Thee.
So in over my head, yeah? Our souls just want to live in this place of peace. And our minds just give us heck and create so much turmoil, so many problems. But whatever wheel you get to spinning, we know, is what will grow in your life. And when I'm sitting here, we're singing these songs, we're listening to these words, we are accepting them, they are coming to us, in us, through us. And Ralph likes to say now, as me, and then from me. And I'm so thankful that being in over my head means the only way I can survive is to live in that place of surrender, and that's where that real peace comes from. And I'm so thankful for that today. That God is moving you from job to job or relationship to relationship, from season to season. It's the living hope and the mystery of Christ and Christ rebirthing in us that makes it possible for us to just enjoy it all. Father, I thank you for your peace. Today, thank you for your will. I thank you for your mind, and that we can have your mind. And that there is more to us than we can see. There is more inside of us than we've even experienced yet. And that's where the greatest things are always yet to come. It's so exciting for me and so hopeful. Wherever you are today, if you can just take this morning and let it go and just be, experience that joy and that hope and that love, you'll see all of those old things start to unpeel and unravel and shed. And God, I thank you for your new way. I thank you that we're still discovering your new way.
Whatever. if you were here last week or not, but Jacob did an awesome job. And he talked a little bit about Eagle's Way and how we are good people. We are good. So many times we don't tell ourselves that we're good. And forgive me for this, but I always compare things to sports. But I heard some people over the weekend talk about my Bulldogs. And I'm not just talking. I know everybody has their own team. But we won 11 games and we lost one. And so many times we focus on the one, right? So many times in life we focus on the bad things. We don't look at the 11 good things that happened before. We always focus on the bad, and I'm guilty of that. And it's just been tugging at my heart and just telling me, you know, Brandon, those 11 times mean way more than that one bad time. And it's just been speaking to me over this week, and I'm good, you're good, God is good, he loves us. And just think about that. Of all the things, the 11 times that you have done good, don't focus on that one thing. We serve a God who is awesome, who loves us. We have no fear of anything because God has our back. We're going to sing this song. It's an old one. We hadn't done it in a while, but No Longer Slaves. Just let it go and worship a God who opens doors, who opens paths for us, that leads us down all the right paths.
Will you unravel me with a melody? Will you surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears will go? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Thank you.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Thank you, God. Thank you that we are a child of you, Father. We thank you for your glorious name, Father. We love you. We give you praise today. In Jesus' name.
Well, I don't know about you, but I feel something really special in here today. Feels good. Don't it feel good? Before I introduce you to Jay Paul, I want to share a few things with you about him that he won't share, but because he's going to get up here and do about a two-minute video for you, but then he's going to preach, and I'm telling you, he's going to preach. So, he won't share some things you need to know about him. But about 20 years ago, I met his father, who has a ministry in India and had up to 500 churches. One time when we went over to minister, I was, after 24 hours of being in an airplane and 5 hours being in a car, I hit the bed that night. And I was to preach, and Mike Oliver came in to get me, and he couldn't arouse me. I was just zonked. I was gone. And he said, "Bearden, you got to get up." I said, "I can't. You go preach." He said, "Bearden, there's 10,000 people out here waiting." I said, "I can do that. I can preach to 10,000 people." So his father asked me, he said, "Will you let Jay Paul move in with you and Barbara for about 4 months? And I want you to mentor him, and I want you to be an inspiration to him." Well, I want to tell you, the tides have turned. He is an inspiration to me. I've never seen a man so full of life, so full of passion, so full of wisdom. He sat there last night and preached to my grandkids. He told Anna 5 things you need to look for before you date anybody, and she wrote them all down. He had them, had her memorizing the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. I'm telling you, this man is a man of God. And I could go on and on and on, but dude, I love you to the core of your being. God bless you. Come on.
Can you pray for me?
Father, thank you for Jay Paul. Thank you, Lord, for what he's doing across the world. Thank you for what he's doing in India. Thank you for the lives he's saving, literally lives he's saving. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that rests upon him. And we just release that anointing this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't even know where to start. In 1995, I wanted to become a police officer. And I was learning martial arts. I got my black belt, and so I used to be black belt, now I'm black. And when I was getting ready for police department, I wanted to be a badminton champion. You know that badminton thing you guys play in the picnic? I'm champion for that, you know. I used to play 8 hours a day, and then I was getting trained to be an Olympic champion, and then I was getting ready for being a police officer, and then I got into a motorcycle accident in Hyderabad in the city. One of my big nerve here got pinched. I was trying to go like underneath a bus and go down and come out. I did many times, but one time it slipped, and the bus went over my entire motorcycle and got smashed, and my leg got hurt, and I got pushed out of that. God just helped me, but the doctor said I will never walk again. I'm in my college apartment, hurting, and nobody knows about this. My mom is a praying lady, And she prays, she sees the whole picture. Where when there was no DVDs, my mom had one. And she can see everything, details to my, what shirt I'm wearing, how I got the accident, all details. She told my dad, called son and see, he's hurting right now, he's in the bed. So my dad calls me and says, Jay Paul, are you okay? Mom says that you got an accident, you're laying on the bed. No, dad, no, I just played soccer. I never played soccer in my life. I was just lying. And said, I just played soccer, I'm doing good. And dad looked at mom and said, come on, you know, you're getting weird dreams nowadays. You're getting really weird nowadays. And you're getting too many dreams and stuff. And mom says, no, I know when God speaks to me. Call him back again. He's lying. And so dad calls me back again and says, mom says that, no, you got hurt. And he says, yes, dad, she's right. And what? And he calls immediately Chillicothe, where my town is, and he's like the president for all this doctors association. The 30 doctors show up to pick me up and took me there. They're all sitting in the living room, says, this is bone specialist is here. They're taking care of face. I'm gynecologist. What am I sitting here, bro, man? I can't go home. Your dad is going to kill me if I leave this place. Just tell your dad you'll be okay. And the guy says, no, you're not okay. You can't walk anymore and stuff.
I asked God, it's God, if you heal my leg, I will serve you all my life. And next day I was doing kickboxing. I got healed and doctor said, no, you're going to hurt your leg if you do that. No, I was fine, totally got healed, but I didn't keep my bargain. I went to Hyderabad doing my thing, getting trained, but somebody came and knocked the door and talked one-on-one the gospel. And he prophesied to me and says, God, I can see you, God, using you all over the world. And then I gave my life to God
there and went to YWAM, Youth with a Mission, YWAM means Youth with a Mission, Youth with no money, Youth with no mattress. And I went there and 6 months training, got back home. And worked with my dad. So when I got back, I was worshiping like 4 o'clock in the morning. I get up and I only worship. Ron Connolly was a new CD release that time, an anointing fall down, and I'm loud from 4 o'clock speaking in tongues all from 4 hours I'm speaking in tongues. And my dad gets up straight, goes to the kitchen, gets his coffee. Like Pastor Buren. And something about coffee and the Word of God. I don't understand still. And he gets his coffee. He reads his Bible from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And I'm worshiping. Like 2 weeks, my dad saw me. And he came and said, son, I really like the way you worship. I really like the way you talk to God. But what I noticed is 4 hours you talk to God, but I don't see God talking to you. Basically, he told me, shut your mouth, you're talking too much. And then he's like, what? I sit down here, Jay Paul. I talk to God like 10 minutes and let God talk to me. And I'm like, but you will go to America, because he applied for a green card for me to come to America. You will go to America, and they will teach you to read a book. For every problem you have, they'll give you a book. Read this book. This will fix you. And says, don't fall for it. This is the book. And read the Word of God. So I started reading the Word since that time. And then I have a lot of American pastors came to India to preach, and then Pastor Buren came. And when you stood there, he talked to pastors without opening the Bible. He quoted the scriptures after scriptures and who Jesus was from Genesis to Revelation. And when I saw that, I'm like, and then he set this example about prayer. It says when the sun hits, the water evaporates. When the sun hits, the water evaporates. And when it goes up and it forms a cloud, when the cloud is full, It pours down like he took his water bottle and he poured water into the pastor's conference. And everyone, the water felt, started speaking in tongues. It was the most anointed service. And I sat down and made up my mind. I told my dad, I want to go and sit with him and learn the word of God. And when I came here, I used to say words like, I'd rather go to China or India and die for my faith than go to some religious church in America and they kill my passion. That's a bold statement. Then I came to America and to Pastor Buren's house, and I realized I have so much religion in me. I am religious. I'm so legalistic. And so Pastor taught me the word of God in a lot of areas in my life to be moderate and not go against the word of God and God learning the word of God. So that's my training here. This is my home church. I'm so excited to be back here. And when I first came to America, I learned Southern humor. It's really different than New York. And from 4 months being here, went to New York. I stayed 3 months, and they arranged a marriage for me there with an American girl and named Sarah. We got married. And we got 2 kids. And when 6 months old, Jedediah came here. When he's 1 year old, he came here. When he's 2 years old, so they watched him grow. Now he's 17 years old. Next year, he wants to go to Marine Corps. And his mom said, what? No. And he looked at his mom and said, Mom, you raised me a good Christian. I love Jesus. Who's going to preach the gospel to the Marines? That took care of it for Sarah. And my style is, you go to 12 mentors of mine, which is your grandpa's. Sit with them. Get the word of the Lord. You pray 1 week and fast and pray. You give me a plan when you come back from Marines, what you'll be doing, and then I'll send you. He said, yes, Dad, I'll do that. And he's getting ready. He's going to gym. He plays bass. He loves God. And I'm super excited that he's going to go to Marines. He got it in it in him. My dad was in the military, and his grandpa from mom's side is in the military. And we came back, and if you want to serve Marines, it's good. The reason I'm excited about it is this generation who are born after 2000, we call them I generation, which is internet generation. These guys will be working for IT World in the house, laying and sleeping, sloppy, all night long, awake till 2 to 3 o'clock. And they have like chips all over there and chicken wings and pizza and disgusting. The whole room is disgusting. And it's like 11 o'clock in the night, daytime. They're still sleeping. And I go wake him up and say, wake up, man, what are you doing? Oh, I'm working. Because he's on. Being on time is not important here. Being online is important for them. If he's logged in, he's working, he's getting paid for that. So I realized I'm searching on this generation where they're going, and I see they're very creative. But if they can harness the grandpa's work ethics and commitment, loyalty and integrity and their values from the grandpa's generation into them, and nobody can stop them. When my son said he wants to go to Marines, I said, go, because they're going to teach them there by force. They're going to install all those in them, and they're going to come with this creativity and with those values. He's going to serve God and be a Marine for Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm excited. I feel like I'm a Marine in the body of Christ because I got trained by Green Beret, whatever you call them, you know? Or what do you call them? Black Ops and, you know, Black Knight I am. And so I got really trained by great mentors, great fathers. And so I want to install that to my son and the next generation. So I'm taking in July 2018. I'm only focusing on kids who are born after 2000. If they're born after 2000, I'm going after them. I have something, a connection with them, and they get easily. It's easy to impress them. I do my nunchuck a little bit, and they go, whoa! And that's like, okay, come, let's go to India. Do something for Jesus. It's been working out good for me. That's like the gift God gave me because Indians are like elephants. They can go on the trample up on dark places. And in the body of Christ, Indians bring strength to the movement of God. And
the Asians, like Chinese, they bring courage. They're like lions. And they get caught for preaching the gospel, go to jail, get tortured. They still have courage. So they bring courage to the body of Christ. And Americans are like eagles. No, you give us vision. Eagle can sit on the top of a mountain, and they have 1,000 times better view than we have. Eyesight. Though when American pastors come, they give us, no, America never go to war without air support. You go bomb everything up and then send the land troops. You know? So air support. Americans can give us a vision. And eagles, the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up like eagles. It teaches how to mount, teaches how to wait, teaches how to have a vision, have a positive perspective that comes from America's. I learned that to hang out with eagles. Now, I know it's Thanksgiving and you want to hang out with turkeys, but you can't hang out too much with turkeys and fly like eagles. Now, we are eagles. You know, yesterday was my day. It was Black Friday, you know. I'm the only guy who used to scare white people in Griffin. When I stay with Pastor Bure and I go for a walk and people see me, they take off. They're like, whoa, they got scared. I came home and told Papa Bure and I scared somebody. I was like, don't go out, man. You get shot here. I went to Pastor Mike Oliver's house and swimming there and hanging out. And I wanted to pass his house to go to the other house. And I was going to the neighbor's yard. And the guy comes out with a gun. I said, you peeping Tom, stop right there. I'm like, no, I'm not peeping Tom. My name is Jay Paul. So I come home and asked Pastor Buren, who is that peeping Tom guy? Is he bad? And he says, yeah, man, it's bad. So I didn't know who he was. So all my education to survive in America, I learned in Griffin. You know, I have a lot of fun time. I learned a lot in here, how to survive in America. Now I can manage going to different states, not doing some things in America. Never ask a woman how much she weigh. Never ask a woman how old she is. And never ask a woman if she's pregnant. Then I can live in America happily ever after. And I wanted my message today is self-portrait. Self-portrait. The portrait, you probably, my English is still Indian accent, so the moment I said portrait, do you understand that word? If you don't understand my title, then the whole message is going to be ruined. Portrait, is it right? A picture, you know? Yeah, portrait. The portrait you see will be the life you live. And in the governor of California said, I just saw myself and I drew a picture of myself and started living in it. So one Olympic champion skater said, I have seen myself, when they were getting a gold medal for him, he said, I have seen myself standing here way years ago, long time ago. The portrait you see will be the life you live. So one of the bellboy who was collecting tips in the hotel looked at his hotel he's working and said, someday I'm going to own a hotel like this. His name is Conrad Hilton. The portrait you see will be the life you live. Gideon, in the Bible, in Judges chapter 6 and 7, you can see he has a wrong portrait of himself. Because of that, he caused him to deny God's word. Because he has a wrong portrait, he falsely accused God. He created in his mind an improper portrait of God. Until you clearly see the picture God sees you, you will never clearly see the God who sees you. Until you clearly see the picture God sees, you will never clearly see the God who sees you. It caused him to fear God's and fear God's judgment rather than discern his anointing. And it created in him a fear of man. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Fear of man is not good. God himself cannot create much change in human beings until he first changed their self-portrait. He cannot do much change in us until he first changes our self-portrait. Throughout the whole Bible, you can see Abraham to Abraham, father of nations. He changed the father of Abraham to Sarai to Sarah. And he said Saul to Paul and Jacob to Israel and Simon to Peter. Saul to Paul. Gideon means a feller or a tree cutter. And he changed his name to Zerubbabel, a grappler with Baal. God knows who you are. You only know who you think you are. God knows who you are. You only know who you think you are. You will never live like the God you see. You will live like the God, the you see. You'll never live like the God you see, but you live like the you see. If you feel like you are not worthy or not accepted, not significant, not valued, and if you have a wrong portrait of yourself, you're going to live like that. But we need to, people just say like, no, the portrait of yourself affects you more than the portrait of God. People say Christians they're not perfect. They're just forgiven. That's just the wrong portrait. You need to have more than that. Not only just forgiven, you're redeemed, you're reconciled, you're justified, sanctified, adopted, Christians, anointed. No, we are anointed Christians. We are more than a conqueror. You're not the tail, you're the head. You're a royal priesthood, a holy generation. You need to know who you are in Christ. You'll not always say, I'm a worm, I'm a Richard, I'm nobody, I'm a dirt, I'm a worm. No, you're not. You're more than a conqueror. Now, if God is with us, who can be against us? And the Bible says that you are a bride of Christ. And it also talks about that you are son of God. We need to have a servant's heart, but a son's mentality. Coming from India, I know how to be a servant. I have a servant's heart. My mom taught me how to serve missionaries. She taught me how to do hospitality. She taught me how to take care of people. My mom taught me how to take care of being a good Samaritan. And somebody's wounded or hurt. We learned all this from that. It's good having a good servant's heart. But you need to have a son's mentality. Sam Walton, who's the owner for, the founder for the Walmart, and in Arkansas, his son was working in Walmart with his friends. They all get paid until hourly basis till 4 o'clock. And 4 o'clock is over, and all the friends took off the apron and said, hey, we're done. We're going home. Let's meet at 7 o'clock for a party. And they all left. But the son said, hey, guys, go ahead. I'll meet you at 7 o'clock. I got to wrap up some things here. And you work till 6 o'clock, which is not going to get paid. Why? Because he's a son. He has a son's mentality. He's not. Servants burn out, but sons burn on. Jesus served with basin, but made decisions from the throne. He said, I only do what my father tells me to do. He always made decisions from the throne, but he served from the basin. We are a son. But we need to have a servant's heart. And that's very important. We are the son of God. And we also, Bible calls that we are warrior soldiers. Each one is a subject. But I just want to give you the titles to you that we are a priest. We have a Levitical calling. And that Levitical calling means we carry the ark of the Lord. We are the ark of the Lord, and we carry the presence of God, and we minister unto God and proclaim blessing over his people. Oh, proclaim blessing? But I don't like her. Blessing him? I don't like him. He irritates me. Oh, then you definitely have to bless. The Bible says that you should pray for your enemies. Why? I pray for a lot of terrorists in Muslim countries, and they keep blowing up people. They're not changing. Why should I pray for them? But praying for them, I will change. I will stop doing the hate talk. Because in New York, I saw a Marine had this sticker, and his bumper sticker says, kill them all. Allah will sort them out. I'm like, that's a cool one. And then when I started praying, my attitude changed. I have to repent. You know, that violence, that killing, and those stuff that we have in us will change when you pray for your enemies. God will change us. That's why, I mean, you have to pray for your enemies. If you don't like somebody, somebody irritating you, and no, you just start praying for them. And God will give you grace for that. You will change. By you changing, they might change. And Levitical calling is you carry the presence of God and you minister unto God and you proclaim blessing over people. And what you sow, you reap. Hopefully I sowed some good in Griffin. And now my children are coming, going to come to council here. And you guys are going to speak to my son and my daughter. And whatever I sow, they're going to reap it. And I see my son sitting down with somebody. And all my life, we know about gym. We know about workout. We know about this stuff. But he goes to some 18-year-old kid and says, can you take me to gym and teach me? And he's taking him because I mentored him a long time ago when he was younger. And we know that. So when you treat people right, there's a difference between respect and honor. Respect can be in your heart, in your mind. And respect can be in your attitude and here. We know. It's like a larva in a cocoon. You know this inside shaking, it's moving, it's developing. You can't see clearly, but you know it's there. It's respect is like a larva in a cocoon. But honor is like a butterfly released. Honor is always demonstrated with a gift in the Bible. Always. Queen Sheba came to see King Solomon knowing he has all the wealth in the world, richest man, and all the wisdom he has. Yet she came to him. On the way, she didn't stop at Walmart and got a small present. She actually bought 2 trucks full of gold to him. And then Solomon honored her back. What you honor comes towards you. What you dishonor will walk away from you. Kick your dog in dishonor, he walks away from you. Same thing in the marriage. No, you dishonor your spouse, she'll walk away from you. If you honor, they come towards you. Honor, not just with respect, but honor is demonstrated with a gift, with your time, with your ability, with finances and everything. And every part of that is honor. Is honor. Honor is the master key to open any doors if you use it by the wisdom of God. Honor is important. The entire book of Malachi, God's asking only one question. Where is my honor? It just not talks about tithes and offerings. The entire Bible in the Old Testament is seeing people testing God, he killed them. But this is the only place God tells, try me and test me. Because where your money is, that's where your heart is, right? And so God wants your heart. That means if you get your money, you got you. Where is my honor? God's asking. Every time I'm in a debt, every time my car is breaking down, when I'm away, my refrigerator breaks down, my heater breaks down, that means I didn't tithe. I immediately check my finances. Every time I tithe and I'm over that, or sowing and offering and tithing, when I do that, God will actually put a hedge. Every time the devil wants to come, he bounces off. It's like that divider line in the car, you know? When you try to go to the other lane, he bounces off. He always bounces off. He can't touch me. I was talking to Dusty this morning in India. 25,500 Christian organizations got shut off. The Hindu government is trying to make it a Hindu nation. In 1947, when we got independence in India, they decided to give Pakistan their own country. And so all the Muslims went to Pakistan. They gave away Burma, and they gave Bangladesh their own country. We're very generous people, you know. We just take it, you know. We gave three countries away, and then they had a meeting in the parliament, and they said, what do we do with Christians? Do we send these people away to England? And the Prime Minister of India, who's a Hindu, said this: do not touch Christians. I read their church history. They're like dynamites. You touch them, they explode. Leave them alone. So they left them alone. 2 years later, they passed a bill again in the parliament saying, what do you do with Christians? Again, the Prime Minister said in India, do not touch the Christians. I have read the church history. One drop of blood fall down, 1,000 churches will raise. That's the church history. They're like sleeping tigers. Don't wake them. They didn't wake us up for so many years. 70 years passed now. They shut off 25,500 Christian organizations. They're refusing all the visas for missionaries. They banned all the crusades in India. They're killing pastors. Recently, one of my pastors got dragged out of the church, cut off his two hands and legs and killed him, right publicly. Now they're touching the Christians. Guess what? Thousands of churches are getting raised in India. I mean, I told that government there in Delhi, it says, you kill one of my pastors, I'm going to plant 100 churches. We have a strategy. We have a plan. We know how to do it. We got the people ready. We're getting trained. We're planting churches now. By 2018, I'm planting 100 churches. And by 2019, I want to plant 1,000 churches. A businessman in Iowa called me and said, how many you can train, J. Paul? I said, how many you can support? $300 a month, can you support one pastor? For $300, can you support one pastor? He can plant one church for $300. And he said, yes, I will support 1,000 pastors. I'll give you $200,000. Give me like till January. I'll come up with the finances and give you a check and you go plant 1,000 churches. If that check comes in by this January, if you can pray for me for that, if that comes through, we'll be planting 1,100 churches in 2018. Amen. With God, nothing is impossible. And my question for that is, no demon can stop us to plant churches and preach the gospel in India. Amen. You can try all you want, but nobody can stop us. Because if God is with us, who can be against us? You know, an ounce of God's favor is worth the lifetime of your labor. You can work all your life, but if you have an ounce of God's favor, it's worth the lifetime of your labor. Now I'm walking in the favor of God. Wherever I go, and I'm asking God to increase my favor. How do your favor increases? When you carry the presence of God. You are the ark of the Lord. When I walk in the plane, I know everybody there is safe. Because I'm sitting there. Because you should have a self-portrait of who you are. I am a servant of God. I'm the ark of the Lord. And God's sitting in this ark. And I'm carrying the presence of God. People get healed. People get set free. Our plane is safe. We land in places. I'm telling you, first time when I come to America, you know, Pastor Buren just simply said, my dad asked him. And he already knows that he decided, okay, I'm going to take him to Griffin and train him. But I didn't know that. Two dads spoke. But I'm waiting. When will Pastor Buren will tell me, come to Griffin? And he has southern humor, which I don't understand in India. He's very serious. Like this. I'm waiting. My dad asked him, he didn't say yes or no. That's a wise thing to do. Not to commit quickly, right? And so I'm watching him. He didn't say yes. My dad said, he said yes. He didn't know it yet. That's my dad's style. He'll take you, don't worry. He'll call you. Dad, he didn't say that. I know. He'll say yes, no problem, don't worry. I'm waiting. We go to Hyde, meetings are over, preaching is over, people got saved, people got baptized, demons got cast out, church planting is happening, and Pastor Buren is leaving now. He goes with the team. Brother Ken Mullis, he was here? I didn't see him today. Brother Ken Mullis was there, Dusty was there, and when they were leaving, in the airport, I'm standing there waiting. Is he going to say something? Come to America. And he didn't say anything. He left. He actually went through the security. And he left. My dad said, let's go. And I'm like, Dad, hold on one minute. I'll wait. And I'm waiting. He comes back from the security. He comes close to me. Hey, Jay Paul, when are you going to get your green card? He says, pretty soon, in a couple of months, I'll have my green card. He said, okay, how much it costs to come to America? He says, ticket, $1,800. And he says, I'll send you a check. Come to Griffin and stay with me. I says, yes. And he went back. Nowadays, to get a ticket for $1,800 is hard for people to go to India. In 1996, he sent me a check for $1,800 from this church here. And I got my ticket and I came here and I stayed here for 4 months. Awesome. And that was the investment you guys made in my life here. And I'm super excited about that. And I always remember that. And now, last year, to go back and forth to India, different organizations call me because I'm talking business language here. You brand yourself for India. When you say J. Paul, India. Okay, you want church planting? Talk to J. Paul. You want to go work with orphanage? Talk to J. Paul. You want to go rescue babies who are thrown away in trash? Talk to J. Paul. You want to go do something in India? Talk to J. Paul. Humanitarian work? Talk to J. Paul. Cultural education? Talk to J. Paul. Religious education? Talk to J. Paul. So I brand myself as India here. So different organizations call me, and I customize for everybody. Some guy calls me and say, you want to be a Hindu? Oh, come with me. I'll make you a Hindu priest. He goes to India, comes back totally saved. Not my problem, you know. I just have to introduce him to the word practically. No, take him to the Hindu temple, and the guy's beating up himself and says, take your shirt off, I got to beat you. What are you doing? Oh, you said you want to be a Hindu? Like, no, man, you know. You can find humor in India. And the guy got saved. No, people will go with no purpose, find their purpose. So one of my friends called me and said, can you take my son to India and show him how rich he is in America? Last week, I was in L.A. Preaching in Hollywood. And my friend, he's living in a house right next to Warner Brothers. And I said, who's Warner Brothers? The guy says, oh, Gone with the Wind, directors. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. So they live right here, $10 million house. And my friend is in an $8 million house, two-bedroom. I said, you guys are poor here. I pay $1,100 in Kansas City, and I have five-bedroom house with a backyard and a cat. You guys are so poor here. They're wearing all this saggy, weird clothes, and they think it's style. We throw away their clothes. They're like four holes in them. These guys are wearing it, call it style. I'm like, I'll give you some more style. I got a lot of torn clothes in India for you. And I was there. I saw the people are so poor in Hollywood. 17 spiritualities in one building. They're trying to find the truth. Coming from India, they thought, oh, man, you're from India. What did you bring? Jesus. And they're like, no, that's not cool. You got to bring something else. What? In India, they've been looking for a way. I want to find the way for thousands of years. In America, in Hollywood, they're looking for truth. I said, Jesus said he is the way and truth. And I bring something cool from India, bro. Come on. And that guy's like, wow, this is different. Coming from India, I thought you'd bring some Eastern mysticism, Hari Rama stuff from India. I'm like, no. The Bible also calls that we are the king. And Jesus is the King of Kings. If you become casual, you become the casualty. You got to be passionate. How do you be passionate? Jesus came down to give us life. He didn't stop there. I know we all got saved and we got life. You know, in America, you have a saying called get a life. You know, I got a life, I got a wife, and I'm okay. But he said, Jesus came down to give us life. Life. Abundantly. That's abundant life, overflowing life is what passionate life means. So we need to overflow ourselves with the presence of God. We need to overflow ourselves to ministering ourselves to God. And we need to overflow ourselves blessing people. in every way, it's in every angle, wherever you are. Start blessing people and things will change. My mom prayed for 10 years for my dad to get saved. 10 years she got beat up every day by my father, who is a police officer, who said, I don't believe in God. He's an atheist. He beat her every day for 10 years. And one day his lungs and liver got spoiled and he was about to commit suicide. God appeared to him. Personally, one drop of blood fell upon him. He was instantly healed and God changed being from Hindu to atheist. Then now he encountered God. His name is Polaya. God changed his name to Philip. My mom was a Presbyterian and Anglican Christian and she loves to pray. But she was never filled with the Holy Spirit. They both resigned, fell on their knees, and started worshiping God. 10 years of abuse, she forgave my dad instantly. That's a miracle. That doesn't happen in America. You need to have 18 sessions of counseling just to find out who you are. I see that. I don't know who I am anymore. You know? That's strange for me. Come to India, one trip, I'll show you who you are. People will remind you. You know, I've taken 20,000 Americans to India in 20 years and never lost one. Because nobody as white as you. 1 billion people, I know exactly where you are. So you can trust your teenagers with me. I'll bring them back safely, but changed. So my friend told me, take my son to India, teach him how rich he is in America. I had a plan. I'll show him how poor he is. So he comes back and tells his dad, in India, they have lots of rivers and big oceans, and you have small pool in your house, in our home. In India, the dads play with their children. Here, we play with our gadgets. I look at dad, beautiful stars there, and here we see like only lights. And in India, we go to the field and get the fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and cook. We have canned food here. Dad, thank you for sending me to India for teaching me how poor we are. And my friend goes, idiot, I told you to do something else and you told me different. I says, yeah, you got being in America for 20 years, you spoiled. He didn't realize. He thought his son was spoiled. But where is he learning from? From his dad. He's my friend from India. He lives here. He's a director in America. For 20 years, he's Americanized. And asking me to show his friend, his son. But it's a new perspective. The biblical view, the absolute truth is the same. Cultures may change. But no matter what culture changed, what time changed, but the word of God, the absolute truth is the same. It's still healing people. When Bible says honor God, we should honor God. When Bible says honor each other, we should honor each other. When you apply the principles of God, the word of God, we got to get back to the word. When little Anna started memorizing the word of God, I was super excited. My daughter is 15 years old. I told her, if you memorize one chapter, I'll give you $100. She memorized the whole book of James. So what that my dad inspired me, I'm trying to do that to my kids. And when they get that word of God in them, in the beginning there was word and the word was God himself, is right? And the word was with God and the word was God himself. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By heeding according to the word of God. The word of God still works. He's still alive, still changes lives, still transforms people. We renew their mind. We need to have. So I have the latest technology. Use it. I can't sit down and read. My eyes are hurting nowadays and I'm getting old. I'm 72 years old, you know? Sorry, I'm 1972 born. So people get a kick out of that if somebody says I'm 72 years old. And Indians don't age, you know? I mean the dot Indian, not the feather Indians. And the word of God still transforms people. So I took this some audio Bible now. There's so many apps now I can download. Now, when you go to church nowadays, you say, instead of saying, open your Bible, now you say, open your Bible app. You know, so many apps now download. Started hearing constantly. You know, the whole Bible in one and a half months, I finished the whole Bible hearing it. Again, you can hear it. Hear the whole Bible 3 times a year. You can find a way to start hearing the Word of God. It gets in you, penetrates in you, and it changes people's lives. And well, if you start thinking about your thinking, then you don't have to worry about what you're saying. You have to hear the Word of God. It automatically comes here. It goes inside, transforms lives, changes everything. So I don't mind giving $50 for one chapter for Anna. Anna was so nice. She has this compassionate heart. Poor missionary giving me $20. She got convicted, and she gave back my $20 yesterday. Maybe you called her. I didn't know. She gave me back my money and says, it's okay. I don't need to memorize the scriptures for your money. I like reading it. I'm like, no, Anna, I have a budget for this. If you read, I'll put it in the account every time I read a chapter. I'll put it in that because this is what I'm called to do, is train people into the Word of God and go get close to God. You point people to Jesus. That's my work all my life, going after young people, pointing people to Jesus Christ. Prepare the way of the Lord. Every mountain shall be pulled down. Every valley shall be filled. Every height exalts against the knowledge of God. You tear it down, and all flesh shall see the glory of the Lord. Amen. In India, kings used to hunt tigers going on an elephant. John Henry here? No, he's in the youth group. Anna there? You look like Anna. Can you come here? Lauren, come. You're so white, I can see you. If I stand next to you, I'll look like a shadow. Lauren, turn around. You know how they hunt tigers in India, the kings 400 years ago. They sit on an elephant, take a bow and arrow, and they send, how old are you? 15, somewhere 10 to 15-year-old boy. They call it a clapper boy or a clapper go. And you clap your hands and you can go sit down. Keep clapping and go. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Harder. When the tiger hears the clapping, the tiger comes to attack the boy, and the king shoots the tiger. Whose job here is risky? The boys, right? That's where my job is, as a missionary, as a pastoral staff. Here, our job is to keep clapping. The issues in your heart will come out like tigers. My suggestion for you is don't kill the boy. Kill the tiger. But why do I take this job, even though it's risky, knowing that the tiger might get me? Going to mission fields, taking young people with you, taking druggies, alcoholics, and people who hate God and church with passion, taking them to India on a mission trip and working with them. It's a risky job for me. Why do I do that? Because I know my King, and my King will never miss the mark. I have a relationship with Him. And I know that He'll protect me, take care of me. He's the King of Kings and Alpha and Omega. I have a relationship with Him. I will take risk for Jesus Christ anytime, anywhere, because I know that He is with me. Amen? Self-portrait, the portrait you have is the life you live. You are a Levitical. You are Levi. You have a Levitical calling. We pray, carry the presence of God. We minister unto God, and we proclaim blessing over people. May God bless you.
Kind of makes you feel like you don't do much, right? I've never seen anybody who does more and blesses more people. Thank you, J. Paul, for coming. I want you to stand, and this is what I want us to do. Usher's going to be coming to worship God with our giving, and the band can be coming. I'd like for you to sing that song, All Things New, Old New, whatever. But I know that we live in an age that we don't carry checkbooks hardly around or cash, and most all of our giving, almost over half of our giving, is online. What I want you to do is I want you to just, as we close in worship, close in, ask the Lord what he would have you to give toward this. And tomorrow or someday this week, just go online and just when you hit the button and you give, just put India on it. And we know that all of that will go to J. Paul and that ministry. But what I would like to do is just kind of calm our hearts for a moment and just listen to God. I felt strongly when you talked about what your dad said to you. What a revelation. You're talking too much to God. Let God talk to you. And I have just, the moment that first note hit this morning in praise and worship, there was something new. Something new happening in this house. And I know it's going to spring forth. Thanksgiving morning, I couldn't sit down. I was just moving around here and there, and I couldn't do anything. And I felt the Lord speak to me, said, go sit down. I carry a little bitty notebook with me that I'd started carrying a couple of months ago. And God said, I want you to keep this with you all the time because I'm going to be speaking to you. And when I do, I want you to write it down. And I sat down Thanksgiving morning and wrote a prophetic word to this church that I'll be giving you next week. But one of the things that God spoke to me said, the barren will bear fruit. That which has been barren in your life is going to come forth. And it's going to not just come forth. It's going to abundantly come forth. Not a little bit. Not just enough to see and make a difference. I'm talking about huge. And I am excited. And I believe today as we just ask the Lord, what would you have me to give? I'm going to plant it. I'm not giving. I'm planting a seed. I'm sowing. I'm not giving anything. I'm sowing. See, when you start seeing giving as sowing, that's totally different. You're not giving away anything. You're sowing into something. And what you sow, you reap. So, Father, today I just thank you for what you are causing to become new and renewed in our lives. Thank you for hope. Thank you for the fact that you've said you're making all things new. And we receive that today, Lord. We bless you in that today. And we honor you in that today. In Christ's name, amen.
Destroy.